Blackjack Road. What's that experience look like? Helps to better understand how that's executed.
So, well, firstly, as I mentioned, the Blackjack Road was an interim facility where we're trying to work with the tribes to find a proper location for the sealed road to get. But the classroom experience for people is it's usually intensive for 8 or 10 hours a day.
Okay.
Students are usually working. So it's done on usually Fridays and Saturdays. With the River, I expect it will be similar, but we'll do 3 or 4 days a week, depending on the type of student or professional who joins our program. So then we have, for example, people coming on their sabbatical, visiting professors may spend 6 months or a year in Arizona. So we have 18 faculty, and 18 listed on the web. Both faculty in different universities around the world. So some of them come on sabbatical, and then they'll teach courses and do supervision at those times.
And so the coursework is highly concentrated.
Yes.
2 days, 3 or 4 days to knock out
per week. And then I guess if you have 15 hours of credit unit, so about if we have the requirements of 30 credit hours for a master's program, so 480 contract hours. So I found most of the Native American students have preferred to come to residential classes or workshops to do that. And many of our students finish their required lectures. The challenge for some of them has been writing pieces. So we require 20,000 words for the master's thesis. And I mean, we have 50 now have completed the thesis. I still have another 60 or so working on their thesis. And then we have PhD students. The fact that many of the faculty have done the PhD thesis means it's not so bad. I mean, another criteria is the publications from their research. They do. So the publications and journals from the research is another method of providing to each LC.
Who's your librarian?
At the moment, we don't have a librarian. That's why we're in the river, because I asked them to provide a librarian.
And that library is going to have a master's degree in library science?
At least we should have a part, as I understand, we should have a part-time librarian for the master's.
Really, you could be doing this program at the Phoenician, which would make everyone here probably feel comfortable. Still, whether it's on the reservation or whether it's renting space from Craig's school, there's still some fundamental human resources that seem to be glaringly lacking to ensure that the student gets the benefit of their bargain. I don't even know where to go, specifically. In HLC, where you're at today, it'd be like trying to climb Everest without ropes. It's daunting. It'd be easily a five-year process. And we're not here to be a wet blanket on what you envision. We're just trying to figure out whether or not we can sanction, license your operation here in Arizona.
Yes, fourth year is conditionally approved. Can I, of your 120 students, are they all foreign students or are they foreign in Arizona? Okay, do you have any students outside in the United States doing online?
So we have student is from Wisconsin. We had a discussion of this.
Do you have state approval from Wisconsin?
State approval from Wisconsin.
Well, when they come into the classes in Arizona, but we have to ask.
I know that, but you still have to have approval. See, that's the other issue. If you're going to have online, out of state, out of it, you will have it in that state licensure. Probably 90% of those states. I don't care whether you're located in Wisconsin or not. If you're delivering online education to a Wisconsin resident, Texas resident, Massachusetts, you have to have licensure in that state for that student.
In fact, in your catalog, you state that you're not required in that
Each state has its own rules about who has to get the authorization.
Mission to governance, which has a lot to do with the integrity criterion. You've got the learning. We talked about the learning, and then there's criterion 4 about assessment, and 5 is about resources. My professional opinion is, I feel bad for you. It's very apparent that you're very passionate about this, and you are very persistent. So I applaud that. But you're missing on, I think, all of those. I just think it's just going to be beyond challenging.
That's why I need to have I believe that the
class size is 25 for 9-10.
Usually on scholarship, 25 for the people who join.
Okay, but in your catalog, you have a ton of programs with a ton of courses, and that was one of my questions. You must have.
We only offer masters in bioethics, global public health, masters in public health, and PhD program. So only those three programs are active. We have some certificates in community and peace as well. But we had this discussion about a year ago about printing. We have it on the books, but we cannot be offering it.
Yeah, because I think each program had at least 5, say, requirements in what we would call the core, and then they chose at least 2 or so from their emphases, so that's 7 per, so 7 times 3 or 4 programs that you just said that you do offer would end up with class sizes of 1, 2, 3, with 124 students, right? You're offering all of those?
We're only offering
you started my cohort?
Only 3 programs.
Do you start to make? Do they stay together? Like, are they cohorted and they group together? Or are they all wherever they are?
So every there's no prerequisite for attending the lecture today. So you can start today. You can start any time. You will just have to repeat the topic that you missed. So every lecture, the topic. For each student, and as many of our people are, my discussion just earlier today, people are absent sometimes from class. So it's a requirement that every student will have a lecture contact hour on every topic that cannot miss. So we have no, if it means they have to repeat it in 6 months' time when they're doing that topic again. So that's how we've done it. So it's sort of flexible, but it means I keep it administrative. Every student needs to be recorded for which topic is important. And, or we don't, so we don't, all the materials are open source or provided free, so students don't need to pay for any textbooks. We usually use government reports, academic papers, or discussions. So let's say this is the topic, you missed the topic today. When a topic's repeated in 6 months' time, we usually use a fresh material. So it's interesting for everybody as well. Because it looks like an academic conference, each class is set up to discuss.
So then they don't have to make up all of the topics in that course necessarily before moving on to, say, the next course, because it's 6 months' time. So you're just saying if there's 50 topics in there, they just have to do 50 topics worth at any point wherever they are. They can skip around all over the place and do it that way?
That's right. And so in fact is for each, for most of the students, they have around 300 topics covered in the curriculum. And they will have to cover them in the at some point. So you might, today you might discuss ecotourism. Tomorrow you might discuss bioterrorism. And the next day, usually we try and offer a topic if the topics range a lot. So it may be a bit different, but I mean, as you said, I need to document it carefully. So I do keep.
I think the scaffolding would be an interesting question. If they can skip anywhere they want along that entire program, that you're going to get a scaffolding question about how is a student going to best learn. I mean, you have master's students, so they don't necessarily have a PhD or whatever.
You have been conducting a meeting for a long period of time.
No joke.
Press 1 now. If not, I'll end the meeting.
Can I just ask you, are your students' records as far as their transcripts, are those kept electronically or by paper?
Both. And I have a
Like both for each student or?
For both for each student.
Okay, so everything that's in paper will also.
Yes, I have three, the location of three uncovered copies. So back up is by the roads, my house, and on the cloud.
What student information system do you use to keep that information?
Again, the companies and software where the student physically keeping folder records and then scanning folder records.
So what is your, I guess I'd be interested to see what your transcript looks like as far as what they've taken. So based on what you've talked about and how they can kind of go all over, how do you keep track of whether they've completed a course?
If a student has a table of each course, each box is a lecture and it's what it's saving and the number of hours of contact. And in the curriculum file, there is the same thing plus pages that comes on the day in our platform. And so once you get minimum contact hours, let's say 45 contact hours for the course, then that will be highlighted in almost all our courses have a final exam.
One other thing I just noticed in the catalog was your courses, they have prefixes, but they don't have numbers. And so when you're talking about a student being able to transfer to another institution, the concern as a registrar would be there are no numbers to indicate what level that course would be at. So they would have to, it would be hard for them, they'd have to go and dig through your materials to determine if they were taking a master's course or they were taking a doctoral level course to determine whether they would accept that, if you go to the accreditation route.
So I should probably read.
I would.
For the courses.
I would. Because it's actually going to hurt your students.
Yes.
Of your document that, and I believe this is the enrollment agreement, that you don't accept credit for previous education, but you have a policy on transfer credits. Yep, and I believe it says you will take them. So you may want to review that, and it's actually in a few places.
So that we can see that you really do have all of you did, and originally, and I even have been in limbo. So that's what the proposal is, that we push this off to the October meeting would be.
And we've got a list of some materials that you could submit them to Terry.
Yes.
Could you get us a transcript of a student that you have graduated from?
Yes.
Just one of the transcripts of a graduated student. So
okay.
Want three?
I want ten.
Okay. Ten. Okay. Transcripts so the board can take a look at those.
Right.
Do you keep meeting minutes from your board meetings, from your executive board?
I do.
Can we just get last three board meetings,
okay,
if you have minutes? They'll want an update on your the Gila River situation. And then did you want information on IRB?
I do. Do you have an IRB?
Yes, we do.
Do you have like a process manual for how that works?
Not a specific manual, we just use the federal regulations.
Can you send me whatever material you have on it?
Yes, I mean, it's just the, we use a checklist, and otherwise we register both with FDA and OHRB.
So, yeah, I'd just like to look at it, who's on your IRB.
Send those to me along mm-hmm. with the other.
Usually you keep minutes of meetings with IRB, so maybe the meeting minutes would be good too, thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Just a scheduling issue that I depends on the date in October and November. And at the end of October and November, both of those, I'm already committed to different overseas.
October 26th.
Yeah, I'm in Korea. Which Korea? Just in the Republic of Korea.
Okay, the next board meeting
is in January.
If we kick it, if we were to kick it to January.
I can submit in writing documents.
That's,
do you have anything else in
Can you call in from Korea?
It's still there. Yes, I can call in. I can try certainly calling in.
I don't like
and submit the documents.
Everyone else calls in.
Yeah.
Do you have think you'd be able to call in.
Do you have a meeting before October?
No.
Could kick it in January.
We could, but then we would also want an update on your accreditation.
Yeah, that you, by then you would have had to submit your application to HLC.
Or met the time.
Well, I can certainly try. I'm joined by all of you. Well, I mean, on the telephone. Well, I can submit the written documents.
Yes.
You can decide.
Yeah, so it's
early morning.
The time is fine. Yeah. The time is not the issue. The connection is the issue.
Well, okay, so if we have a connection issue, it'll just get kicked.
Okay. I mean, in the Republic of Korea, assuming I'm only in the Republic of Korea, it'll be fine.
Should be fine.
Shouldn't have merged the two countries
by
then.
Okay.
So schedule it for October teleconference and
what's
if we drop the call, we can take it. What is the deadline for getting you those materials?
What's today? Today's August.
Today's the 24th.
October 1st.
October 1st, so you have until October 1st to submit that information, and then I guess you can give an update to Terry about Gila River.
Yes.
If that changes before the meeting, you can also update the board of the meeting.
And also a change of address.
That's a, it'd be a supplemental application for a change of location.
Yes. And then should I give you the insurance certificate?
October 1st is a Sunday.
Address.
Okay, so October 2nd.
Yes, on the insurance.
Yeah. I should send that to you once. I'll just get that
October
tomorrow.
October 2nd.
Okay.
It's your second. October 2nd is your deadline.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I would contact your insurance agent and have them add the blackjack.
Well, but that is there, but I can just...
Well, it doesn't show me on that. So.
Yeah, no, that's why I get the certificate issued with the blackjack.
Okay.
And as soon as I hear any updates, I will report to you. Thank
you. So we make a motion to postpone the consideration of the provisional degree granting license renewal until the October meeting, and you will be required to submit by October 2nd the materials that were stated. Because you won't be in the country, you will call in for the meeting, and should we have connectivity difficulties, you'll be automatically bumped to the January meeting. All right.
And there's four items, correct?
Four items, and then I'll submit anything extra.
Okay.
I plan to communicate with HLC about the linkages to try the nation.
Motion. Do you have a second?
Second.
we'll give it to Jennifer because she was COVID.
Ladies first.
No, not ladies first.
We
would just both of these.
I'll figure it out.
Thank you. Any further discussion? And you agree to submit the information.
Yes.
All right. All those in favor of postponing, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So now we are down to the last two, location permit license application.
And what have we learned today?
We have learned from this
a lot.
Yeah.
To make up, you're spending
no,
today.
No.
They're probably going to have all their edits already.
Here's our new one.
All right, the location permit license application for Hashi Paws.
Hashi Paws.
Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Hashi Paws Academy of Grooming is seeking a non-accredited vocational program license to offer a pet grooming program. They have posted the $15,000 surety bond, and here representing the institution is Ms. Shannon Adams. And,
her father, Tim Adams.
Tim Adams. I didn't know. Oh, okay, never mind. The board member is Ms. Lindbergh.
Yes, I am. I know you wish I was completely out of steam by now, but you know what?
No.
She's rejuvenated.
She's got her second
win. I've got my caffeine. Could you introduce yourselves?
My name is Shannon Adams. I'm the majority owner of Hashi Paws Academy of Grooming.
I'm her father, Tim Adams, and I'm the financial person behind it.
His name, according to the paperwork, is John T. Adams.
My
family currently owns Hashi Paws, which is located in West Phoenix, and we currently are a dog daycare, grooming, and boarding facility. Our building is almost 4,000 square feet. It's three suites that we've combined into one facility. We just opened last November 2016. I'm losing my mind too, sorry. We're building clientele very rapidly, but we also want to bring in, we weren't very happy with the quality that our groomers that we were able to obtain were putting out. And so we decided, well, hey, what if we try to kind of change the way that the groomers out here are thinking, the way that they're finishing their work, just a higher level is what we want to create. So we decided we're going to take on and hopefully get approved to open Hashi Paws Academy of Grooming within Hashi Paws and grow from there.
The building and the build outs have been set up for a grooming school, kind of in the planning.
Yeah. Okay. So as is my tradition, I have a list. Sadly, I have 16 items on.
Oh, no.
Okay.
16?
I can talk fast, though.
Okay. Hard stop 4:30.
She's got a hard stop.
I'm telling you.
She's got a two-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can start calling at 4:30, so I am going to talk fast, so listen actively.
Okay.
Okay. We worry about puffery, and so there's a fine line between you being proud of your business and you crossing the line and making representations that are not true.
Okay.
So there are places where you talk about being the best, the most current. You kind of imply you're the only one with 20-plus years of experience. But where you came from, it's a dog's life. He has 24.
Right.
So it would behoove you to look at your wording and keep in mind that a student could file a complaint and say, they said they were the best, and so look at that.
Okay.
You mentioned that you're gaining meaningful traction with grooming students. So a concern from you, it would be, how do you have any students?
We have zero students. And what I mean in that is, the inquiries, the people coming to us asking us, would we ever be doing that? We're already getting inquiries, phone calls, walk-ins, current clientele that are just on the daycare boarding side. They're interested in attending a grooming school as well.
So if you watch your wording there, including right in your catalog, you say that has been taught over the years.
Well, I do have a current instructor that is employed as a groomer for right now who will be going to, or will become the instructor. And again, she has 25 plus years. She has been an instructor at some of our other competitors' places, so that's why I put that.
I would suggest you look at that word because it makes it sound like you have been teaching under this.
Okay.
So you mention in a few places about how great you are because you do it faster, but you're also teaching 50 less hours, so I guess I would like an explanation of why you were better when you're getting less.
Okay, well, when we started having this idea, I hired two individuals with no experience in the dog business whatsoever. I hired them to kind of do a test run and try to work out the kinks. And I know a lot of the other schools are anywhere from 12 weeks to 14 weeks for their completion date to become licensed groomers, and the program that we've kind of worked through in-house, we feel that we can do it just as well, maybe, I want to say better, but I'm not going to, just as well in 10 weeks, and that puts our students out on the street able to work 2 weeks to 4 weeks.
Again, I'd like for you to look at the wording, because you, my first run, I thought that meant that you were giving condensed so that we could go in and you know, get it done, the career of the year type of thing. And then I relate longer and see your, or you know, look at what the schools are and see you're offering 50 less hours. So that seems to me like a conflict. You're saying, aren't you proud? We can do it in less time because we're giving you less. Mm-hmm. It sounded like you're bragging about something that.
So just take it out, maybe.
You take it out, that'd be easier for me, yeah.
Okay.
Admissions required high school diploma, I would suggest you consider changing it to our equivalent. The kit, I was pretty confused about the kit. Can they buy that equipment independent of the school?
They can. Well, you mean outside of the school or the kit that we put together for them?
So am I required to buy the kit from you, or could I get a list and go out and pick up the materials?
You are not required to purchase the list from Poshy Paws. You're more than welcome to purchase your own kit with the equipment list that we provide.
So I think it wasn't all that clear. It would say something like, for your convenience.
Okay.
We have a kit for sale, but you're welcome to provide your list and you can purchase it.
Okay. So,
and if you do that, you also might want to put in something about a certain level of quality required. You know, it's not someone coming in with.
Yeah, I put brand names, size, you know, quantity, sizes.
Class schedule, you're the second person this month who says, hey, there is a discretion of the director, which leaves me thinking, it's all about you, and you're going to tell me when the school's going to happen, and I'm going to have a really hard time planning my life around it. So put in some explanation of where you have that the various discretion of the director, exactly what that means.
Okay.
Because honestly, that sounds like a complaint waiting to happen.
Okay.
Sign up for Monday and Wednesday, and you decide you just don't have Mondays anymore, so you're not offering it anymore. On your enrollment agreement, there are no page numbers or place to initial, so it's a legal document, and we strongly recommend that each page is initialed and they sign at the end, so that it's clear that each page of that is what they were agreeing
to. Okay.
Catalog, page 4, lists the full name of our board. Catalog, page 4, you say you're doing ability to benefit, and you don't say what test you're using.
Okay.
Catalog, page 7, you say you do refunds in 60 days, and you have to do it in 30.
Okay.
Page 7, you say there's 90% attendance, but I didn't see an explanation of what happens if I hit 85%, can I make up the hours, how does that work?
Okay, I can change that.
Most schools put in some explanation of, you know, some amount they can do you know, within your existing schedule, and some they have to pay extra, whatever your rule is, you need to put it.
Okay.
Page 7. You say they're required to take a leave of absence, and then you basically identify a leave of absence as being withdrawn. So you can't require them to take a leave of absence. You can offer a leave of absence and put the terms of the leave of absence in there.
Okay.
But a leave of absence is not a withdrawal unless they fail to return.
Okay.
Page 8 of the catalog. You say the SAP probation is 30 days, but you're evaluating every 3 weeks. So how are you going to manage that? If you put on probation for 30 days, you evaluate it after 30 weeks, and then it's another week. So is that another point of evaluation? Will you do a special point of evaluation at 30 days?
So probably just change it to...
Either change it to... Administratively, it would be easier for you to line it up with something that's naturally occurring.
Okay.
Page 8 of the catalog. Okay, so I found this funny. You don't require shirts.
See, my problem is I assume everybody has common sense, so I will I'll make sure everybody's wearing shirts.
Tim, did you put that in
there? Might have been his choice.
I was flexible.
You'd be surprised. First person's gonna come. No,
and we get lots of customers, I bet, though.
If I remember correctly, you can't wear a tank top. No shirt's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. No. And also, most schools like yours actually require some sort of a smock.
We actually provide that in the kit, and I'll put it in there that they can purchase that smock from us.
Or if another person they chat out, like, you know, black scrub or something, if they can buy somewhere else, that's fine. You might specify so someone's not coming in, you know, tie-dyed or something.
I'll put it if they purchase it from us.
Are you really going to charge $25 for a transcript?
That is superior
really
high.
That's like a transcript. Is it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I just figure because it's taking somebody's time out of whatever the regular
is. It's part of being a school.
Okay. All right.
And if you, and honestly, if you're administering this correctly, you pull up the computer, you put in there ID, you print it, you're done.
So okay.
You
know what? Okay. I'll lower that
one. Right. And your grievance doesn't have a time frame, and so you want to specify how long you will respond back to them, and make sure you do it in business days. Otherwise, it's very hard to manage. And make sure whoever you say they are complaining to or designee, in case you're out, your dad has to fill in for you, because I think you've got your back there.
Okay.
That's everything I had. 16. I think that's
everything. That was fast.
Well, they didn't argue about any of it. You didn't find that the last two cases tend to just agree instead of arguing. And I do have the pages coded if you want them.
No, we have it.
Okay.
I just had a quick question, actually. One of the things I noted was the equipment was $1,000. I thought that was... I was wondering what you get for that.
Well, you get everything you need from every single type of comb and brush, which is around 5 to 10 different types. There is special combs for different, you know, Furminators or different processes that you use, brushes. Clippers are very expensive. The clippers alone are $250 by themselves. Yeah. Then that's not including the guards and everything else that go on them. So,
Camo clippers?
No, it's not like a normal, like, you can go to Walmart. You can't go to Walmart and just buy the, you know, the regular clippers.
It's a little bit different. I cut the dog's nails, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I actually thought that first, too, when I saw, I think, looking at the list and, you know, having some dogs on the car and the pig left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are all my questions. Anybody else?
Well, you listed in one of your documents that the estimated salary would be $30,000 a year.
That's on the very low end.
Okay. So Is that something that you got from a publication like the U.S. Labor Department, or is that just kind of your experience?
I did not. It's just based off of my experience with the current running shop, and the lowest end would be $30,000. That's with somebody with no drive, no motivation. Grooming, you can make as much as you want, as many hours as you want to work, as many dogs as you want to take. You can earn it.
I would recommend that you tie it to a publication.
Okay.
It'll provide you some protection if somebody should ever question. Once you pass it on to somebody, you know, you're going to be busy running a school and all the other businesses that you do. If you tell them, oh, they'll make $30,000, they're going to pass it on to a consumer.
Okay.
And it doesn't match up with their experience in the first year of employment.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back to you.
Okay.
So, in fairness to all parties, you know, try to tie it to a publication.
Okay. And don't make any promises.
Okay.
That's best not even,
say.
Should I just not put that info in there?
No.
I can online pick it up.
Yeah, I'd say if you could.
I only did it because of the application there was a slot for, so
yeah.
I just kind of followed the guidelines.
Because if you say,
I'll take
a lot of it, if you don't want to say it, we'll pull that.
that was my question too about the salary. You'll have to educate me on this. As someone that's going to get an education from your institution, would they get a job at like a PetSmart in the grooming?
They could.
I don't think they're making $30,000 a year though. That's my concern.
Do you think that they're making less?
$15 an hour.
Right.
$14.
Well, most, that might be an exception when you're working for a large corporation or a big box company. When you work with most, the majority of a regular, you know, a regular groom shop is going to be kind of a mom and pop shop or somebody who's branded and has several, their majority, almost all groomers are making commission. So they're making 50% of everything that they put their hands on.
Oh,
so
okay.
If they do 20 dogs, yes. So if they do 20 dogs, they're making 50% of every bit of what those 20 dogs brought into the shop.
Now we know to negotiate.
Yeah.
Appreciate that education. Thank you.
Tip just changed.
Yes. Yeah.
They're zero.
Groomers make a lot of money on shops. So they just get.
Lastly, are you hoping to eventually become accredited and go out for any kind of financial aid?
I mean, in the end, I would love that. I don't foresee that happening anytime between now and the next 5 years. I honestly want to kind of hone in on these two shops, you know, or these two businesses combined as one and kind of make it prosperous and then kind of reevaluate and move on from there.
But we will be looking at government assistance as far as grants and programs as we qualify through time.
Down the line, yeah.
And you base this tuition price off of?
Oh, I took, I don't want to use the word stock, but I researched a lot of my other competitors and found out both in-state, out-of-state, and was able to, you know, I kind of took their pricing. We are around $700 higher than the highest priced one here in Arizona. I did that on purpose because of our amount of time. They'll be hitting the workforce a lot faster.
You're charging $700 more.
Yes.
You're giving them 50 hours less, and you're thinking that's a good thing. I'm still missing the mark on why I'm proud of that.
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking if I were coming in, if I'm able to hit the workforce.
You give it less. Yeah, I just don't understand that.
Unless you really can do an apples-to-apples comparison of what you're offering versus your competitor as far as this, the curriculum and the education they're getting, just to really show them this is why it's a better deal.
Yeah, like if you're able to show that you're more efficient how to do it, they're not wasting time or something, but as it is, it honestly sounds like you're throwing a hat trick. I'm going to give you less, and you're going to pay more, and you're going to like it.
Okay, and maybe I'm not explaining it correctly, because how I feel about it is that I'm bringing these students in and that they're going to finish at the 10-week point, and at that point, they're going to be extremely confident about their work. They're going to be, I guess I can't really guarantee those things.
Oh. No, because you're giving 50 hours less, you charge them $700 more, and so it just literally makes no logical sense to me of why you think that would allow you to charge them $700 more.
Okay.
You can always adjust one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you can charge whoever you want, but I'm just telling you that if I were coming in for this class and you told me that, I'd be like, this lady's nuts, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it because this is brand new to me.
I think some of the students, just professional study students, I think, tend to look at the shorter amount of time as long as they're getting the same amount, you know, in more condensed classes, may see that value of I can get into the workforce sooner. As long as she...
$700 extra?
In 2 weeks, they could be making an extra $2,000. You know, so to me, it seems like
that balance. Whatever the board thinks. So she might enroll, but
I know.
I'm not.
Okay. I'll adjust the price.
I'm done school terminally, okay?
She wants the commission.
Who's part of it?
I don't get to wear a shirt. All right, then. So, we have no other questions or comments. I make a motion to approve the conditional vocational program license application with stipulation of the $15,000 security surety bond is maintained and that you make adjustments to your catalog, and when you do send it her, we won't hold the license for it.
But no, I do.
She will hold the license.
I do. I hold the license, just so you know, FYI, whenever you have stips and revisions, it does not go out until they're in.
Sometimes I'm so cranky about my paper due. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Any comments? Do you agree to the stipulation?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank
you. You're a good dad.
Thank you.
And last but not least, the coding spot.
Oh, you started?
Yeah. I was just looking at you.
No, I have my...
No.
I'm good.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, this is when the coding spot is seeking a non-accreditation program license to offer two programs in medical coding and adjustment coder. They have submitted the $15,000 surety bond, and Keith did the on-site visit. Here representing the institution is Ms. Elizabeth Irwin, and I'll let you tell who everyone else is. And your board member lead is Ms. Dr. Buck.
Hi.
And she also has to talk fast, too, because she's going to be out of here.
Would you like to state your name to the record?
Sure. I'm Elizabeth Irwin. I am the owner and the director of career services and admissions for the coding spot.
I'm Tiki Schubert. I'm the director of student services and operations. So I have no
vote. I'm Sedona Kirby. I'm the instructor for the coding spot.
I'm Bill Irwin. I'm Elizabeth's husband. I do whatever she tells me to do. I help with the financials.
Okay, so if you don't mind, in our very short amount of time, I'm just going to jump right into the notes that I have. This isn't, one thing I wanted to say was when I read the name of the school, I actually thought it was coding, because that's a big thing. So one of the things I just, how are you going to different? Oh, my mind right there, and I was like, oh, this is different. How are you going to make sure that people know that you're, you know, the business is about medical coding and not?
Yeah, I had the same exact thought, honestly. I started reading it, and I was like, am I looking at the wrong
right, line? That's exactly, I was like.
I did.
Right away. I thought, oh, I'm doing a coding school. Interesting.
Well, we actually, that people do confuse the two a lot. No matter what, even if you tell them you do medical coding, people tend to think that it could be the other type of computer coding.
Yes.
Computer coding.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, being really, we just explain it on our website and in our videos and in our literature and anything that we create, we'll just make sure that we really stress that it's medical coding and not computer coding.
So you're going to waste, we're getting a lot of leads that are not going to go anywhere because they
That's a really good point.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. More specificity.
And that's interesting if two of us, especially her and I, are more alike, went right there. I think you're going to see.
Yeah, we all
do. Yeah. So the lawyer.
They had a little more. Only one.
What would be? What
yeah,
would
we
help
can't.
You?
We can't name you. We're so across the line of giving advice today.
When you're doing a business, the more specific it can be. Like, there's no confusion what Breakmasters does. Yeah.
Breakdance?
Maybe.
That was clever.
Okay.
That was clever. Okay, we're down to 13 minutes. In the program app, your tuition and your registration fee do not match what is in the enrollment agreement. So I think we just need to check that.
I was confused in that too, because tuition and all those fees underneath it equal $4,000. Mm-hmm. And then.
Yep, but in the it's broken out in some places throughout here, and so you have to, it's like it's weird. It's like 25-25 somewhere, and it's 24-65 or something in the other thing, in the application. I'm trying to find it.
Simply, you make it be better.
Yeah.
It just they don't match. It's under like the professional coder, the tuition is $24.95 with a registration fee of $200. Now the good news is all through your materials, it does say registration fee non-refundable $200, so that's good. It's the I think the error's on the program app, just so you know.
The actual application.
The actual application error is on a private post-secondary, I think, where you had the error. So interesting that you said when you talked about your three roles, because one of the things I noticed was. You know, we talk about career services, and I'm like, but based on the number of people there, I didn't understand that. So that answers actually one of those questions that I had. However, your title is operations and student services, I think, and in some places it just says director of student services. Mm-hmm. So I think I said that earlier today. I would just make sure all your titles are correct so they find the right person and.
So you mean displayed every time? So every time I mention my title, I would use both of those titles?
If you want them to find you, my only concern would be, would they think it's two different people?
Sure.
That's it.
Okay.
So throughout all of them.
Yeah. And that's like when you have one title that has an and. Mm-hmm. You have different jobs, and so you're going to probably list those. But that was my question, because I was like trying to count up the people. So then I was like, is the student services person different than the ops? You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that made more sense now that we've talked. Let's go next. Sorry, the tabs. I had a question about the faculty. So, is the faculty member the same faculty member through all 9 months?
Correct.
Okay.
Instruction?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, having been in higher ed for quite a long time now, you may run into a conflict when you have a faculty member the same for the entire program, like what happens when there's a conflict early on and that's the faculty member for the entire time. So.
You mean for the student without a conflict? Mm-hmm. So we are looking into hiring additional certified coders to be an addition to our staff.
So I would just look for that, though, while you're having one. It's going to be it'll be harder to navigate, especially if you get into something where there's a huge conflict.
Okay.
What are you gonna do?
Don't make anyone angry.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I found this interesting. What are the requirements for graduation? A minimum of 50% of the total program clock hours must be completed. Well, if you're gonna graduate, you should probably have all the hours that's required of the program.
Especially when it's
am
only,
I missing something?
Especially when it's only 200 hours. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of education.
I think that what we meant by that was because it's either you can finish sooner, so even though it's you can work at your own pace, so we might have students that finish the program in a shorter amount of time. Even though it's work at your own pace, we monitor it, so they have to meet certain deadlines.
Then that's you need to meet that. You need to tell them what the minimum is.
Okay.
Because otherwise, your students don't. It's not going to match what you told the state.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, so you are operating 100% online. Is that only in Arizona? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to enroll students from other states?
Not at this time.
Okay. If you do, you need to go to look at that state's regs regarding what that requires.
Yep.
Okay, and so we've already talked about titles. I talked about this earlier. One thing I would just want to be caution anyone against is when you repeat a policy several places. It also happens in here regarding like the refund. And so you just want to make sure if you can put it in one place, put it in one place. When you update it and you forget the other one, you don't cause a conflict, and then you're having to let a student pay a fee that's the lower because, yeah.
So right now, I believe it's just in the catalog and enrollment agreement. Are those two documents not matching?
I have it written. Oh, you put it on the, you guys, when you created your separate section. So I'll have to look back on here and see where I see it. But okay. I noticed it here. So I've seen it several times.
Okay.
And I just don't want you
to. Yeah, I know there was a separate tab that just had that one.
Yeah.
And it's in the enrollment.
And
catalog. Okay, but I'll check the catalog.
Yeah, I would just say, as a rule, just remember that. If you can put it in one place, try one place.
Better, yeah.
Okay. I had a question about how you operationalize this, because when I looked at resumes, it all looks like people are employed at other places.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we were just waiting for hopefully our approval so that then I would be moving as soon as possible into just doing this full time.
Okay, because my concern was, well, how are you going to be available for students?
Yeah.
And you list a telephone number. So I was like, well, how are they going to call if people are working at other jobs? So.
Okay. I have a lot of flexibility, so I can be available. But truly, we were just waiting for approval so that I could make my next steps into
that. Okay. Okay. So you do list fees in the enrollment agreement. I'll leave that one alone. How would you evaluate prior work to be able to transfer that into your program? How does that work? I mean, I'm assuming you're not doing credit. It's not credits, right? So how are you going to do that?
Well, mostly we'll rely, especially for Sedona, because she works in the field. So what we would look at is prior experience, prior education. If you took medical terminology, within the last year, normally the bones and the parts of the body don't change that often that we would give you credit for that. When it comes to the actual certification courses, that would be really something we would rely on Sedona to be able to determine how long or how dated that information is to be able to just sit for or get credit for that course.
Okay, make sure when you guys do that that you keep track of what it is that you're allowing for credit.
Sure.
And then make sure that you're consistent in those decisions. So if two students come to you, that you're making the same decision. So a lot of that's super important.
Absolutely.
I mean, the same vein on that one is the catalog page 2. It says you evaluate prior ed experience and determine proper career path. So you decided that you're not going to enroll them based on your previous experience?
No. Well, I think that we want to make sure that the students that we do enroll have the best fit for this profession. You know, some people might not be... might not be this type of a learner.
Okay, but you say to determine proper career path, which makes it seem like there's options or something.
Well, there's a couple different certifications.
Yeah, there's two programs
for coding. So if you're really trying, like, to dig into certain areas, then that would be the path that we would suggest for you, or if you just want to do
Don't want in front of the complaint committee saying that, you know, you said you can't do this, you can do this. You have to make sure you have everything is validly documented.
Greatly appreciate the feedback.
And it would probably be more of a suggestion of a career path than saying no. I mean,
well,
I would reword that.
Okay, so I'm in the catalog as well. On page 2, I'm curious. This is all online, so you use an LMS, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. What LMS are you using?
It's through AAPC.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's like a specialized one?
Yeah, it's a specialized.
Okay, and does that document time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's something interesting. You failure to complete 5 hours per week. Something having taught online that students or people can do is you log into the classroom and you walk away, and you come back and you make sure it doesn't log out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be pretty challenging too.
What did you do?
Huh?
How did you do?
We didn't log time. You're doing time. That's always like that. I don't know how you.
Well, there's a couple things. There are timed exams that students will have after each chapter or each section. So I mean, you can walk away from that if you want to, but we'll be able to tell at least with that. So there's some of the assessments and the tools within the LMS that this is the amount of time you have to complete it because it's time. So if you didn't complete it, then I couldn't give you credit for it.
Or if you do that, ask a question, and my son took my issue when it would come up and ask a question if it wasn't answered specifically. Why would you, like, run to the bathroom and back, but it didn't?
And some of those things we probably will have to put in place. Like this is really just working with the resources and from just our past experience of the things that we've come across working in education, what could come up. But until we actually have more enrolled students and really functioning, some of those questions we'll find the answers to, unfortunately, as it comes across our
desk. Because there's nothing wrong with clocking the time, just knowing that people may be treating us.
We also have weekly, I don't know if you noticed, webinars that Sedona does, and so they will get credit for that too as well. And that's,
Well, and my concern about this is it leads to, because it has sanctions attached to it, and so time tests and stuff, totally, yeah, right on. But when you're taking attendance by the amount of time that they're in, that is just can be a challenge.
And my other one, the same thing, is that you're saying on page 2, 5 hours a week is required, 12 months maximum time frame, but then in your SAS right to progress, you say 2 hours and you can finish on time. Mm-hmm. And usually SAS right to progress is like 1.5 times. So it might be that you're supposed to go 5, but as long as you go at least 2, 3, you can't physically do that. 2? It's way too low. I mean, mm-hmm. 5 at 1.5 times.
Okay.
Your math doesn't work. Okay. You can't get it done. So you could be all along telling someone to make a SAS right to progress. Comes to month 11.5, and you're like, oh, we still have half the hours to go. We're kicking you out. SAS right to progress is supposed to be, you can tell earlier on at the points of evaluation that progress you're making now, but cannot finish on.
Sure. Okay. And
the way you have it, that would never work for you.
Even at a 50%.
50% doesn't work.
Right, but that was kind of our starting.
Even 50% would have happened at 2.5, so you have to work 50%.
Okay.
So on page 3, and if you are in SAP, mine was, it says, will be monitored weekly and monthly. And I was wondering, what in the world could someone be doing weekly that would be satisfactory academic progress? Like, you're going to monitor
trying equipment? All online schools say you're supposed to participate at least once a week, and so that's how I read it. Was assuming they were just putting.
So we have our weekly webinars that Sedona would be conducting, and so that would.
That they're participating weekly.
Oh, so if someone's not participating, you're going to do something right away?
Sure. If I don't
every
see
week, it,
right, and that every week that she has those webinars that we'll be able to see who's appeared in, who have participated, and then follow up with. And it may be just as simple as everything okay, we didn't see you this week, and then progress from there. But we at least have some kind of contact with them on a weekly basis that's not just in the LMS.
Yeah, so I was thinking more quantitative, as in there's an assignment grade and stuff like that versus have they logged into the class.
Maybe look at the grading to make sure we read it and thought something different.
Okay.
So students have a maximum time frame of 12 months, so this is under academic probation and termination. And then downstairs. down below, it says the same type of thing. So that's exactly what I'm talking about.
It's kind of
duplicative content. Yeah. I think we're done probably.
I have some minor things that in the spirit of time, she will just send them to you. If you end up not understanding them, let her know and then she'll ask you for
others.
I just had one left. And this is on your marketing. You have a statement that is pretty lofty. It says financial make more money as an entry level coder than many experienced professionals. That's probably not a good, lawyers.
Which market in India that I'm...
Executives. I'm pretty sure that's not going to win.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
No.
Oh, I have that up.
Yep.
Oh,
so depending on who you think is a professional, that's probably not going to be right. Yeah, that's mine.
Even I don't believe that.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm going to win.
That's a choice.
It's true. Okay, thank you for pointing that out.
All right. Anyone else?
All right.
Just a quick question about your curriculum. And what. So you have 160 hours of classroom time. I run a coding course at my school, and it's
medical coding.
It's 720 hours. I'm just wondering how, you know, if what your rationale was that this is going to prepare someone to be ready to take that certification.
Well, I think that I'm not sure what your course entails, but it sounds to me like it might be a diploma or a degree program.
It's a diploma.
Okay, diploma. This is really a certification exam prep.
Okay.
And so that's the big difference, I think, there. The time, all of our competition uses the same time, including the credentialing agency, AAPC. So their our coursework is, it mirrors theirs. With additional curriculum that we've created to go above and beyond what they offer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you offer them any kind of education on, you know, professionalism and
yes,
being ready to
definitely
work in a
resume building, all that good
that's
stuff?
My
in a medical environment, in an office setting?
I actually did career services for several years at an ultrasound school.
Okay.
And so developed the whole career services training department for that school and for the one I'm at now as well. So I feel like I'm pretty good at helping them.
All right.
Yeah. She can take some tough cases and turn them around.
That's all I have.
Okay, are you interested in making a motion?
Oh, yes, that's my job. Hold on. They just gave me the job today. I moved up in the world. I'd like to make a motion to approve the conditional vocational program license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
And revisions.
And revision that's suggested.
Okay, motion, do we have a second?
Second.
She was booming on that.
Congratulations.
We did.
Thank you. All right. All those men say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
I'm not sure. And even things that we may have missed this time, we'll catch up next time. And changes you may make in catalog, we will scrutinize and be prepared to come back and tell us how successful.
Yeah, we saw the second round. Yes. We'll be sure to be on.
Yeah, this was
the
same.
So,
Terry,
she has something
there. Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Terry, thank you for all your help.
For your patience.
Yeah, thanks, Terry.
Terry, thanks.
We need the full board for a couple more minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
Good luck. Like,
two more minutes.
And then I can explain later. I just need a quick vote. Okay to submit the budget as provided to you yesterday, knowing that I'm going to tweak it a bit more.
Well, give me a raise.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Can you do that? Is that how that works?
I get a raise?
Can I get a raise?
Yeah.
Doubling here.
We might have some changes in some of the funding issues. There are four of them. The rent expense is going up because we're moving. We are incurring more expenses because we are moving. Security. Yeah, this is supposed to save money. Hello.
I didn't see that.
Okay. And e-licensing, it's going to cost us about $23,000 a year for support and maintenance. And then $10,000 for enhancements because we know people have to. It also proved to me, and which is what I'm going to be tweaking it, is we will no longer have enough revenue.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to tweak the strategic plan and come up with maybe next year. It's too late now, I think, because it's going to take a lot of work to get a fee increase.
How much of a shortfall are you talking about?
You are not allowed.
You're not allowed to do a fee increase?
We haven't increased our fees since 1996.
And the reason why?
The legislature, you need a two-thirds vote, and it will increase fees, and the governor, I'm sorry, does not support the increases.
Yeah, we'll have to go. She needs to go.
Political. So.
That's a 20-year.
No, really, truly, fees not interest.
I don't know. Do you think they wouldn't if they knew it was 20 years old? I mean,
2 years ago when we did our sunset, I went and asked to at least get these new school apps, which you've seen them. They're only $800. I got one sitting up on my chair that is 2 6-inch binders for $800. I asked for a fee increase. I was told no.
Who does it go to?
It goes to us.
Yes, but
the committee.
Who goes to a committee?
And then it goes
shot down.
Senate, right?
Who goes through? Yeah, that was through the committee. So first you go through like the Senate Education, then it goes. First you got to get somebody to support it. Then it goes through Senate Education. You got to get them through. Then it goes to the full Senate. You got to get them to approve it. Then it's got to go to House. Got to get them through it. And then you got to have no point in going in further if he's not going to.
Even Cold Stone Creamery had price increases.
Well, why don't you tell him?
Is that working?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I think would be easy to do. I don't understand that one because Republicans.
See, and before, up until now, we had enough revenue to support what we're doing. Could we have another person? Like, could I hire someone who specifically knows how to do policies and procedures to save a lot of time here? I just thought of that today. It would be really awesome, but we don't have the money. But regardless, up until now, we were okay. Because of the move and because of e-licensing, we are now hidden. We don't have the revenue to cover our expenses.
And how much of a shortfall?
This is affecting every board right now. That's in the 13.
Yeah, we're
going to let you run it at a deficit.
Well, why can't you guys band together?
We have band together.
Yeah,
that's why we're still getting the halfway decent prices. I've been trying to get licensing, e-licensing, or better improved for 8 years. I've gotten nowhere until now. Last year we ended at 350. No, that's not my fund balance. Last year we were at 443. The end of this year we go down to 353. In 2019 we go to 301. We can only do that for a year or two.
We have reserves.
Yeah, we use our reserve because we're at. Last year was 352. This year it'll be 501 because of the licensing and stuff. Then we go to 461 because of all the funding issues. We hovered around 450 revenue. We used to be around 400, but we were only appropriated 396, so we couldn't go over that anyway. So
do you need a motion to approve the budget?
With tweaks.
Okay, make a motion to approve the budget with other changes and the Stanfield fees are appropriate.
Thank you.
May I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
You want to go quick, Leslie?
Call the public. Anyone? Have any comments whatsoever?
Last one's the committee members. Real quick, committee members. Finance. I've strong-armed him. Right?
Finance?
I would say Dick and Paul for right now. Flip Craig and Dugan to complaint. You, Craig, and Dugan. That's been effective the way it used to be.
Okay, and
you're
she's
still a reprieve.
She's a fill-in in one of the MAF like me.
There you go.
You're
on deck.
So I think we should assign her more leads.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
More reading.
The first day I'm like, three? You want me to practice?
Three.
We only have two on finance.
Only have two.
Two on finance, three on committee.
Thank you.
And then Sarah.
And I am really sorry it was so heavy, but when I lost a board member and two were out.
Okay, you're going to do it.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Duke knows us.
We are adjourned at
what?
Audiobook
40.
Keep it on. Bye.
I'm trying.